What difference would it make if a man were a Christian? We think many times as we talk about church life and about religious life that we commonly use the word Christian as if it were easily understood. And we speak of such and such a person being a Christian. I don't know that we use the word so often. I was just thinking just now we probably use it more by saying that he's a church member, or we speak of a man being a Methodist or a Presbyterian or perhaps Salvation Army. We have been doing our studying in the book of Acts. We are just now in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm raising the question just now, what does it mean to be a Christian, to become a Christian? You will remember in our study yesterday that we asked the question in the terms of that Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? And you remember the apostle told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now I'm going to raise the question, what difference does that make when you say that a man is saved? We have noticed that becoming a Christian is believing in or believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to say that knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ, one commits oneself to him and believes in him. And now we ask the question, what difference will that make? Now listen to what Paul says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm going to pick up this word, saved. I almost feel as if I should pick it up carefully as if it were a hot word, because it isn't used much, actually amongst us, not much. What do you really mean when you say about a person being saved? I think many times the word is used by some people to indicate that you belong to a church, maybe by other people that you have had a particular spiritual experience. Maybe you've had a real profound spiritual experience with emotional feelings, and perhaps you had weeping or crying, or maybe you were overcome with emotion of one sort and another, and afterwards you said, I was saved. But what is that the meaning of this word? Thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm going to suggest to you now in a few moments some of the things I think that this would mean. Certainly above everything else, one thing it will mean for sure is that a man is forgiven, that he is pardoned. So far as his sins are concerned, that he is forgiven his sins and his guilt is taken away. Now, if a person had no sense of sin, you wouldn't have any feeling about being saved. If you didn't have any feeling of guilt, you wouldn't really get any great relief when you were saved. But if a human being is conscious of himself before God, knows he has not done what he ought to have done, realizes he has done things he ought not to have done, that he has missed many things that were right and done many things that were wrong, and because of all the sin and any of the sin that he has committed, knows right well he's not acceptable before God, and perhaps even has had a feeling of guilt, feeling that if God was going to judge him, he would certainly suffer the punishment that would come to a guilty person. Now to him we would say something, that if he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be forgiven. His sins will be taken away. I tell you that the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far shall his sins, his transgressions, be taken away from him. God says in one place that he will cast all their sins behind his back and remember them against them no more forever. Like that. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities is what we read in the 103rd Psalm. There's no question about this, that is included in it. When the Lord Jesus himself, speaking about these things, said that their sins, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then again in the book of Hebrews you read in connection with the new covenant, I will forgive them their sins. I could spend more time on it, but it won't be necessary, when we'll just put ourselves down right at this outset, that when it says here, thou shalt be saved, one thing it means is, thou shalt be saved from future punishment. Thou shalt be saved from future judgment. Thou shalt be saved from condemnation. And by the way, this is a very, very important thing. I would say that I believe a good many people have the feeling that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ might incline Almighty God to be generous and charitable and gracious, and yet have a feeling that while the Lord Jesus might carry most of the burden, that God the Father would certainly punish you some. And I expect that everybody who has ever done anything wrong, if they do not fully understand what Christ Jesus has done for them, I expect they all think that they will certainly be punished a little bit, at least, given some sort of a spanking for the wrong they have done. Now, I'm not saying they don't deserve it. Don't misunderstand me. But I am telling you that when a person is saved, they are completely forgiven. Not one single thing against you. The whole burden is taken away. That's the reason why people who understand this sing the way they do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my sins rolled away. Yes, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Of course you are, because you have been forgiven. Another thing that belongs to this matter of being saved is that you will be born again. Now, that's familiar language, but let me say it over again. Born again means that in you, you are being regenerated. That means you're experiencing a new birth. That doesn't mean another chance. That means a different person. You will be different from the inside out when God is working in you by His grace in Christ Jesus. And when you read, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house," it includes the idea you will be inwardly affected by the grace of God so that you'll be a different person than you were before. You were before a child of man. You were born of your parents with your grandparents and your great-grandparents. You know what it's like. You have your family tree, and that's who you are. But when you're born again, you're a child of God. All that which is human is called flesh, and that which is of the Word of God and from God Himself is called spirit. And you are to be born again in the Spirit. So we're going to say that when a person is saved, they're born again. And now I come to another thing about this word saved. You look at the word saved, S-A-V-E-D, and you could understand much of what I'm going to say if you'd put an L in there. And if you spelled it this way, S-A-L-V-E-D, you'd have the English word salved. And don't think this is so far-fetched, because, you know, we speak of salvation. You see the idea? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior who works out your salvation. That's where the L is. And actually, this is what this means, is of being healed. And this sense of being healed, delivered from sins, set free from hurtful habits, set free from patterns of thought and behavior that are evil, delivered from these things, saved, healed, yes. I know born again, but even your whole personality will be healed when you are saved by the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. Then other things follow. Now remember what we've said so far. You're forgiven your sins. You're born again by the grace of God in the new birth as a child of God. And now you're being healed. The things about your own personality and in your own heart and mind that weren't right are actually being changed. But something else follows. God will give you His Holy Spirit. And don't ever let this go. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That's part of being saved. When a person is saved, it doesn't mean that it is as though you had gotten off the track and the Lord Jesus came along and picked you up out of the ditch and put you back on the road and said, "Now, go ahead and do the best you can." No. You're not set back where you were before and then do it all over again. You'll go in the ditch again. No. "I will not leave you," He says, "nor forsake you." And He says to His disciples, "I will give you another Comforter who shall be in you, even the Spirit of truth, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who takes the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and shows them unto us." Some other time we'll spend more time talking about that. But just now let me tell you that when it says, "Thou shalt be saved," it includes the idea you will have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. Now let me go on further to say, you will not only have the Holy Spirit of God in your heart, but the Holy Spirit will make you conscious of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this makes possible a fellowship with Him, a companionship with Him. When you say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house," that being saved includes personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will be closer to you than the other people in your family. If there are two of you in a room, there never will be only two, there is three, because the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. If you sit down to the table and there are four people sitting down to the table, every Christian person knows there are five people at that table, because the Lord Jesus Christ will be there with you. This is no handicap. He's your friend, and he will be with you to help you in everything. And finally, when we speak about being saved, we should include this. You're given a different outlook for the future. I would say that for the average person, the average human being that you know, when he looks ahead to the future, he's dreading the day when life will come to an end. And death is a very real expectation. He may try to hide it, he may turn his back on it, he may try to cover it up, but he knows, and knows it with a sinking heart, that his days on this earth are numbered, and then will come death. Now, how about the Christian? Doesn't he die? In a sense, he does, and in a sense, he doesn't. The flesh dies. The outward physical being dies. But the new thing that's in him will never die. And so far as he is concerned, even though he falls asleep in Christ Jesus, he will be raised from the dead. Because to the Christian person, to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is spoken these wonderful words. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare again a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this is included in this matter of being a Christian. And so I have very quickly reviewed here for us what actually happens when a person becomes a Christian. He'll be saved in all these things that I have spoken of. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The family will have it too. Our God and Heavenly Father, increase our faith to walk with thee, to trust in thee, and to receive from thee the blessings of grace in Christ Jesus. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.